This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Just call the deck Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
And then that's funny because he burns you and he's a guy. It's also funny because Bobo was Mr. Burns's missing bear. See?
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI Court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team. KYT.
Sorry, Jay just agreed when the Dina on my head exploded.
Jay Boosh.
Is this what it's like to be a brewer? Because that was exciting.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. I take it all back.
Scotty.
I would really like you to, like, come clean. You just mulligan to land, elf sword every single game.
And Medina.
So anyways, I had to leave, obviously, because I'm just not going to sit here and watch chicks get naked when there's training to be done.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey, everyone. It's KYT. That's it. It's Jay. I'm here with Scott and KYT and Pro Tour somewhere winner, Tom fucking Martel. Woo!
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Tom, do I actually sound like that? No, that did not sound that much like you.
Okay. Come on, it sounded
much manlier than you do.
Yeah. Oh. You're not supposed to tell him that. It makes him feel bad about himself.
So, Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
To the surprise of no one, you are going to be our premier guest this week.
Well, it is always an honor and a pleasure. Well,
I'm glad we were able to grab you. Like, it's hard normally after a pro tour to get somebody.
I have to tell you, like, I have to put huge thanks out to you, Tom, because Tom has always been a strong supporter of everything that we do. Never was that more evident than with his willingness to sit down with us and give us a deck tech on day one of the standard portion, and then agree without like a moment's hesitation to do our show the first Thursday. Like, yeah. So sick, Tom! Unbelievable, man. We are just
it's completely my pleasure. It's you guys have always enjoyed, or at least pretended to enjoy, talking to me in the past. So the least I can do is is return the favor here. And in terms of that deck tech, it was actually, I think, the only deck tech done on video of the Aristocrats during the tournament. So you have a Pro Tour exclusive in your hands there. Hopefully people enjoyed that.
Feedback on it has been tremendous.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep. So
So for those of us that weren't able to watch that and weren't able to watch the Pro Tour, so could you maybe go through the deck real quick and just like how you guys, like, did you come up with this? Is this like a joint effort?
Wait, there are people who didn't watch my deck tech?
Jay.
I know, but it's terrible.
What jerks.
I know.
Terrible. Yeah, I'll give you the quick little highlights here on the deck itself. So it's called the Aristocrats. It's a white, red, black, kind of human-based aggro-ish deck. It has some control elements to it as well, but it's primarily an aggro deck. It was designed primarily by Sam Black, as you can kind of tell from the number of his kind of pet cards that make it into the deck. There aren't a lot of other people in the world trying to play Doom Traveler in standards, but or screws. The number of screws that High Priest that have been in lists Sam Black has made is uncountable. But this time he actually put together another shell that really works well. That I obviously did very well with other people in the team. Also, I think it was maybe the first or second best performing deck in the tournament. Wasn't overwhelming. You know, we didn't get kind of our 70% win rate that we've had in some previous tournaments, but we still broke 60%, and did really well.
Yeah. Well, you also. I was just noticing earlier too, like you spiked your drafts too. Like you,
oh yeah,
you fucking like owned that shit
for once. Well, for twice actually. This is the second time now. Usually, it's the limited that gets me. So if you look at had the last few Pro Tours in Pro Tour Dark Ascension, which was Honolulu. I 9-1 constructed and didn't top 8 because I couldn't draft to save my life. And then in RTR in Seattle, the last Pro Tour, I 8-2 constructed and didn't top 8 because I couldn't draft to save my life. So it's been a recurring theme recently that the drafts have really been catching up to me. But so, thankfully this time we put it away.
Nice. So was there any special focus that you paid to booster draft? Or like, is it just you just got there?
No, I mean, we did some awesome preparation. Our preparation for booster draft for this Pro Tour was better than anything we've had in the past. I mean, so I worked with SCG Black, or geez, sorry, just Team SCG. We've dropped the color monikers now. They're blue has defunct.
Yeah.
Yeah,
second so blue? SCG,
yeah, poor blue. May they rest in peace. and we just, historically, we've done a lot of drafts. We haven't been that good at, like, kind of syncing up and sharing notes and figuring out what's working. And thankfully, this time, I was able to do a few before we even got together. And then once we did get together, a huge, huge thanks to Sam, who'd done a bunch of drafts first. But then also, Sam's actually childhood friend, Dave Heineman, who joined us and had just done like 30 drafts and had these really awesome understanding of the archetypes already going into it from day one. And he just got us way ahead of the curve with his understanding. So, I mean, Dave was hugely instrumental in my limited success in the Pro Tour. And I think for that of the whole team. It was just a tremendous boost for us.
Nice. You are very clearly, or have been clearly identified sort of as like the leader of the team. No, that's fair. That's fair. So are you like the organizer sort of situation? Like, are you the taskmaster that keeps everybody on board, or what's that
it
look like?
It varies. I mean, so kind of it's leadership in a very loose sense. I mean, we are certainly, it's a very collaborative team. You know, I'm not sitting around and kind of the quote unquote leaders are like me, Sam, and John, mm-hmm. but it's much more from an organizational perspective than anything else. You know, once we're all in the house, it's not, you know, us telling people what to do or anything like that at all. It's all everyone's equals on the team from that point going forward. Just we kind of take on the setup and organizational duties in advance of the tournaments and kind of just keep everyone kind of moving in the same direction to that extent.
Yeah.
So it's leadership, but only in a very loose sense.
No, and that's exactly what I was looking for. So that's perfect. Okay, awesome. So so you were talking about the deck. You gave us the deck tech on it, which is fantastic. You played like an unreal top 8. I remember distinctly we were getting ready to go out to our party, and we were like, well, I guess we're not seeing you there. and I know that you, it was on Saturday night, and I know that you were initially quite concerned about your top 8 match with Melissa, and I think you had kind of felt like it was basically unwinnable. I think
it was real bad. Yeah, it was very bad.
How you felt about it? So, what happened overnight? Because like you 3-1'd her. So like what happened?
Yeah. So if you watch, and I'm gonna scoop myself a little bit here. This will be coming out more in depth in my upcoming article, which I still have yet to write.
That's okay.
Shame on me.
Everybody reads stuff and nobody listens to us, so it's okay.
Well, so the real difference there are twofold. So after I left the site on Saturday, I actually thought about even just coming to the party and saying, hey, let's go hang out for an hour because this thing's a lost cause. But we went back, we grounded some matches. Sam, David, and Johnny Magic himself kind of showed up, and the four of us just cranked on it for a little while. Patrick Chape made a brief appearance to chime in with some thoughts. Zvi was there for actually for most of it as well, really helping out there. So we got the brain trust together, if you will. And our conclusion after about 3 hours of testing was that I should really just have gone to the party. And had some fun.
Wow.
Because the matchup was looking pretty bad. I think game one, I was a small dog, probably like a 42%, 58%, somewhere in that neighborhood. I like picking kind of random percentage points to emphasize the point, but somewhere in that neighborhood. And then after sideboard, it's got way, way worse. To the point where I wish that even if she didn't sideboard, at most I could get to like maybe just under 50-50, and that was at best. Thankfully, they actually came up with very different conclusions, and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if I've had a hard time trying to even figure out what their testing showed, because their testing showed the matchup wasn't very good for Melissa, and it blows my mind. Because we had, you know, I was piloting Aristocrats, John was piloting the Bant deck through multiple different sideboard plans, and we couldn't come up with anything that even came close to matching up well. So I don't know what they were showing in their testing, but it worked out for me because they dramatically changed their deck and slowed it down a lot, actually. Their plan was to board out their Augur of Boluses and their Centaur Healers.
Oh.
And bring in the Faith Menders, the Garrix, and the Gisela. The Gisella one being the most strange to me. So I actually joked the night before that maybe if I offered Melissa $100, she would put the Gisella in just to give me a chance to make it sporty. And I thought that was my like my out. And I don't know if you know, so at Pro Tour Barcelona, which was the AVR Pro Tour, I played a constructed deck built by Patrick Chapin that featured Gisella as the primary win condition. And I won every game of the tournament, which I drew the one Faith Shield we had in our four-creature deck, because then I could counter the Zealous Conscripts on my Gisella that always killed me. And I lost every other game. And here we have the same thing in reverse, where she actually brought in the Gisella into the face of my Conscripts to give me like a pretty good out to beat her.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it was their testing, I think, was, they had some weird stuff going on. I'm not exactly sure where it came up with that. They got in these game states where they said they both players are like 60 life and they're having a hard time finishing games. My deck has one card in it that gains life, that's Vault of the Archangel.
Yeah.
And I don't have that many creatures, and she has Wrath, so I don't know how I'm going to gain 40 life for the course of a game. But I'll take it. Wow. So that was why they thought they had to go bigger and need the Gisella to really punch through damage. So, you know, that was their conclusions. I don't know what broke down in their process there, but I was thankful for it because it definitely gave us a much better chance when their first play in the game is really like on turn four with the Faithmender. I've been able to do incremental damage and can probably punch through and actually kill them. It also makes the Restoration Angels way worse when they're not blinking Centaur Healers and gaining three or six life. Exactly. Instead, they have to wait until turn like six to blink a Thragtusk. That's way too slow.
Yeah.
So yeah, that helped a lot.
Nice. So you also had like, you know, the sick play of the game, right? Like the sick play of the tour you earned on the back of, you know, my new favorite card, Orzhov Charm.
Sure. Yeah. You're talking about when I bounced the Restoration Angel?
Yeah. So Jay didn't watch it. So give him the play by play on this because it's like mind blowing. I read this and I went, what the hell? This happened? It was awesome.
Yeah. I actually didn't even see it right away because it hadn't come up before. But we only have one Restoration Angel in our deck. But I kind of looked at the board and I decided this is my best chance to win. And so the play is I waited. It was actually kind of awkward. So we could back up one turn. The turn before, I'm going to cast the Zealous Conscripts and take her Thragtusk and hit her for some damage. And my hand is Zealous Conscripts, Sacred Foundry, Cavern of Souls. And I decided to play Cavern of Souls on humans to save the two life from playing the Foundry untapped for the red mana because I didn't have any red mana yet. It worked out kind of awkwardly because then the next turn I had to telegraph my play. So I draw Orzhov Charm. My board is Restoration Angel, Conscripts, some other like junk. She has a bunch of business. She has like two beasts, an angel of her own, and a Thragtusk. And I have to go like play my Sacred Foundry untapped, shock myself. Say go with six mana up, which basically just turns my hand face up because if she thinks it through, my deck only has seven instants. It has three tragic slips, four Orzhov Charms, and a Restoration Angel. Angel's in play, the slips do nothing. Why would I shock myself? So I have Orzhov Charm 1000% in my hand because I had to shock myself. Which I was like, whatever, it's my best, it's my only chance I'm winning this. Is I just have to make this play and hope she either like doesn't come to that conclusion or doesn't see the line. Because a lot of people don't think of that mode of Orzhov Charm that can bounce your thing, because they think it either kills something or it reanimates a guy from the graveyard. Those are the two lines they focus on.
Yeah.
So she attacks with all of her creatures, two beast tokens, a Thragtusk, and a Restoration Angel. I Orzhov Charm, bouncing with my Resto, replay Resto, blink Conscripts, steal Thragtusk, block Resto and a Spirit Token on her Angel, my Thragtusk on one of her beasts, taking three from her other beast. Thankfully, she also she kind of moved through quickly and didn't realize she could actually just Azorius Charm, which she ended up having, her Thragtusk response to Conscripts, giving her the beast.
Best.
Tom and instead, she gave it to me, which worked out. So I might even play that turn wrong. It's possible I should have played around Azorius Charm. I actually just conscripted one of the tokens. But I decided I wanted to go big or go home, and thankfully she didn't punish me for it, and it worked out all right. So I ended up getting a beast token out of it. The board kind of cleared. I killed all of her business and then was able to kill her a couple turns later.
Sick.
Man, what a fucking Jedi. Man.
It was a sick turn.
That's so crazy. Like, oh, I have this Azorius Charm. And you're just like, what of it? She's just like, oh, yeah, I guess you got me. Blammo! That's so crazy.
It was definitely the high risk, high reward play that panned out. Okay. I think.
With your hand,
a great player. I think normally she would normally find that play. I'm not sure if me being in top eight kind of stunned her a little bit, or if she got, it was, Lord knows, in my first Pro Tour top eight in Paris, I made a much, much worse play against Ben Stark in the first game of our match. So I'm very familiar with kind of how being in that moment for the first time can be very overwhelming. We saw that too. You know, Owen punted his punt. He would just never make it a normal game against Ifro in his quarterfinal match. It's people don't understand how out of your comfort zone you are the first time you're playing in the top eight with the lights and the pressure. So it's thankfully I benefited from that. I think, you know, if next time she won't make that same mistake, because it's a mistake she wouldn't normally make.
Yeah, I hear you. So we were, it's funny, I know that we were secretly hoping that we would get the Game of Thrones in the finals. You know, when Larson...
Maybe you were, I certainly was not.
No, I can appreciate that completely, but it would have made a good story for us. Yeah, so instead you got to play against Swedish Brian Kibler.
I did.
Also known as Guile, apparently. I don't know if you watched.
Yeah, that started emerging on Twitter afterwards. I kind of see it, but I mean,
Swedish Kibler is
way too good.
No, I agree. Especially when the two of them were up there doing Ice Ice Baby. That was pretty insane. Awesome.
He's not jacked enough to be Guile. Like, Guile's a buff dude.
No, that's
Joel Larson is, you know, is a svelte man.
That was well put. It was well put. So your match against Ifro. Your best of five was really tight. You guys were pretty close to the wire.
Yeah, we actually, arguably, so it's funny. So the first four games, we didn't really play a game. In game one, he's dead if I draw a fourth land for three turns, I don't, and I die. Games two and three, he floods out massively, and I kill him. Game four, I have the same thing, or like either I flood and play like three spells. He makes a small mistake, actually a pretty substantive mistake, when he attacks his Boros Reckoner into my guys before playing his creature to evolve is Gyrosage, yeah. But I don't draw any spells, so I can't punish him for it beyond the kind of the narrow punishment I get in there. But then game five, I mean, I mold a five on the play. So I was like, man, this is going to be the most uninteresting match of all time. But thankfully, my deck picked me up on its back and delivered what I needed.
Has any of this sunk in yet? Like, you had tweeted earlier that you're like still not over it yet. Like, hasn't hit me. You are a Pro Tour champion. Like, you are. You win that Players Championship, there is a good chance.
I think I still have one more Pro Tour top eight. I mean, I need to even have a shot, even with a Players Championship win. But I like to think that it's funny. It's like a year or 6 months ago, I was thinking about this and talking to Sam about how, you know, my career is numbered at this point because just my job is just so time consuming. And I can't keep going to as many GPs. Them reaching the fourth Pro Tour, maybe we'll make that a little bit better. Maybe you don't need to go to as many to stay on the train. But there's a very realistic chance that I'm gonna fall off the train in the next like 2 years.
Yeah.
And at the time I was, you know, I had one Pro Tour top eight. I was so far from the Hall of Fame. Obviously now having won one, it feels so awesome to be that much closer and have it be a realistic thing that could potentially happen. I do still only have, you know, 12 lifetime Pro Tours, which people realize my career is insanely short still compared to everyone else who, you know, they all have like 35. I'm years and years behind a lot of the people that we're talking about, so I have a long way still to go. But if you know, hopefully I can put up some more results and can justify that. I'm actually already time eligible, ironically. My first Pro Tour was in 2000.
Wow.
So my name will be on the ballot. I won't get any votes yet, but my name's going to be appearing there soon. As I got the 100-point threshold, just actually I broke the 100-point threshold for eligibility 2 days after the ballots got posted. So I really want to see my name on there, at least so I can smile and put that up on the wall. But we're still a ways away from that.
Well,
hopefully, you know, it's
stick at it, man. You'll get there.
It'd be amazing.
You keep playing the way you did this weekend.
Kind of how it feels. I mean, it certainly hasn't completely sunk in. Like I'll be kind of going about my business normally, and then all of a sudden I was like, remember, oh hey, I won the Pro Tour this weekend, and I'll like giggle a little bit and like smile. So I still keep getting like periodically just a giddy feeling from it that has not gone away yet. Hopefully it won't for a while because it's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. So awesome. Free for free.
Oh, man. That's awful.
Oh, man. That's right. So it is. Yep. Quebec City's happening this weekend. Standard deck of choice.
I think
you would still run the Aristocrats.
My opinion
deck.
Of the deck has oscillated a little bit. So for one point during the tournament, I thought this is a really good metagame deck and it won't have legs beyond this. I actually think it's more than that. I do think it has a lot of staying power. And depending on what metagame choice you think you're expecting, I think it could be a great choice if people aren't becoming prepared for it. So, for instance, everyone's talking about how bad a matchup Esper was. Ben thought it was like a 75% matchup for him. I think he's crazy. The post-Edward games, I think, were actually favored. So it has a ton of versatility and power to it that I think people underestimate. So I would not be shocked if it did very well at this tournament. That said, I would probably lean towards playing our Jund list that Reed wrote about today on Star City. He and Owen tuned the heck out of that deck, and I think it's really an awesome list. And I'd play one of those two decks if I was playing a standard tournament this weekend.
Hmm. Nice.
Was that the aggro Jund deck?
Yeah, he's the experiment one aggro Jund deck. He went like 25 points over constructed, like the highest.
Yeah, I mean, I like that in deck and kind of theory. I think it has a lot of potential there, and I think it's well positioned. Of the aggro deck, if you want to go super pure aggro, let's see. So if you say, I wish I had some kind of like hybrid aggro deck, it's kind of mid rangey in some extent, and it's not as a pure aggro deck. I think I would prefer Jund aggro over like Naya Humans, Saito Naya, Saito Gruul, all those decks, I think, are worse than the Jund aggro decks. So if that's where you want to be positioned, I would look there first.
Hmm. Nice. Okay. So, yeah. So I think in the article you'd mentioned that obviously Saito's lists influenced you guys a little bit.
Right, yeah, it definitely influenced everyone. It, I mean, having someone out there who has that much credibility just spamming lists that, you know, people who don't do a lot of testing or don't have a team around them, they're going to obviously trend towards those. Definitely has to influence your testing. You have to take that into account.
But you don't think it was that great?
It's fine. It has a lot of variants. I mean, Burning Tree, Shaman is just a very, Burning Tree Emissary? Burning Tree Emissary.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, just a very variance-inducing card. If you have three of them in your opening hand, your hand's insane. If you have two, your hand's very good. If you have one, meh. And if you don't have any, if you draw him on turn four, he sucks.
Yeah.
I definitely want Lightning Mauler in my deck if I'm playing him. I think that pairing is just extremely powerful. Yeah. And that's how you make your deck draws even better.
But I
don't think the deck's, you know, insane or anything. I think the first, I'd rather be Aristocrats in that matchup every time.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Awesome.
Just being an ambassador for Saito. I'm just going to report back to him later. Tell him what you said.
Tweet at him. Martell said your decks suck.
Yeah. And be like, oh, Martell, very good enemy. Oh, ah, shit.
Well, I am 0-1 lifetime against Saito. He did defeat me in Columbus, so.
Oh, man.
Lower. Did he slap himself in the face? Did he give you the
He
beat?
Did. He did, yeah.
He did. He fucking did he? Really?
It was the finals of a GP. Of course he's going to slap himself in the face.
Crazy. Did you slap him in the face? That's what I would have
done. No, I just got slapped around by him. He beat.
I would have offered. Like, I can help you out. Here, let me help you out.
Oh, man. Saito crushes me every week when I go to his website and buy cards from him. I'm like, foil Japanese? So, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, man.
Did the last list I got to ask you about, Tom, and this is like the last one that I've got for you for sure. I know you're like crazy busy, but...
From the tournament? No, I didn't.
Did you look at Yuya's list? Yeah. So Yuya was running the Gideon Champion of Justice.
Okay.
Red, blue, white list.
What?
With even two mana gargoyles in the sideboard.
Oh.
Yeah. It's what was it? It was like three Augur Bolas, four Boros Reckoner, three Restos, and two Snapcasters. And then he had like three Gideons, and then three Sphinx's Revelation. It's like Sphinx's Revelation, Supreme Verdict, Think Twices, Pillar of Flame. Huh, Zorius Charm, it one is a charm, rewind, like, it's, yeah, it was a mess.
He
did fairly well with it. apparently, it's funny because nobody played Gideon, right? And so he ran with three of them in the main deck, and did fairly well, I guess, but, I mean, it seems like it's a pretty good card against all of these decks that want to vomit out.
Yeah, I mean, thought there was a chance the card was good. Sam actually thought it had a lot of potential. We didn't end up kind of finding a good home for it, but we had it in a couple different Nihilists at times, and it bounced around a little bit.
Tom's like, yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that. I was busy winning the fucking tournament.
That is what exactly happened.
Idiot!
But it is sweet to know. It is kind of cool to know that you guys were testing with Gideon and that it isn't total garbage. You know what I mean?
Wait, it's definitely not garbage. I think it has a home.
But, like, so is that home sort of in this mid-range slash, you know, control strategy where you really need the versatility of it to be a guy and then, like, Or is it like, is it a control card? Is it an aggro card?
It's tough to know without playing with it a lot more. I've actually yet to play a game with it in Constructed, but my guess is somewhere it's going to fit in the mid rangey spot. It'll be, you know, I like it in Naya as a kind of a reset button that can also go big. I like it in this blue white red list that you guys play. It makes a lot of sense there. So my guess is it's going to end up being, I don't think it's that great in a pure control deck, because it's just going to get picked off and it'll always get hit. You need guys in front of it. But I like, you also want to be able to, you know, make it into a 10-10 and kill them pretty quickly. Yeah. And so that it'd be able to get blockers out of the way, which is pretty nice.
Nice. All right. Tom, is there anyone you want to,
yeah, okay.
I know we don't do shoutouts, but
I mean, just as I mentioned already,
so...
you know, just everyone on the team.
Is there anyone you want to yell at?
And Dave Shields for his additional support beyond that. But they all just did such a tremendous job helping me prepare for this and get there. So this is really a team victory. You know, Owen and myself both putting us, two of us in the top eight. It's just an awesome result. And if you look at our constructed results, we had some pretty good ones. A lot of guys kind of came up a little bit short in draft, which happens. But we had a great tournament, and hopefully we can do better in San Diego.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, always my pleasure.
Well, Tom, thanks a million for coming on. You're welcome anytime. So
thank you. Maybe we'll run this back next week with the to talk about the Charlotte win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All sick.
So you didn't know John, but he actually replaced you with Tom. That's how we started without you.
I think that's actually a good idea. So like, if you could actually pull that off, I'm gonna applaud you. And then I'll get back to running my business, you know, instead of jerking off with you guys over here.
Into the ground.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
appreciate
Tom.
It. Great to be
Have
on.
A good night, man. We'll talk to you
soon. Later.
Man, that was
what
so
an awesome dude.
Pleasant.
That's my favorite, Jay.
Because so he's the best. The best!
I'm so glad that Tom Martell is a bro of the show.
Me too.
Because we got to like just cheer for him all the more while he's crushing on the Pro Tour, you know? It's just so sweet. So sweet.
Yeah.
It was pretty sweet, I gotta tell you. Being able to be like, you know, within the first five people to see him after winning the tour and giving him a huge hug.
Heck yeah.
That was pretty
Scott,
sweet for
you mentioned
me.
The Game
moment.
Of Thrones. We forgot what you brought up in our whole hotel room about Tom and Jerry. I was rooting for that one. The Tom and Jerry final.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry. It used to be a cartoon like in the 50s. Right, I think. Let me just Google it. Let me Google image it.
Yeah, that's right. So I can tell you, I didn't play a lot of Magic. Serious fun next week's gonna be pretty sweet. Durf and I played a Commander game with Stibbs that went really long, and it was insane. And there were lots of pictures taken. And I think that we're the subject of Serious Fun next week.
Oh,
so you guys
sweet.
Should check that out on Tuesday.
What Commander did you play?
Insane. I ran Janara. I ran my Bant commander. It's just basically like a Bant good stuff, but it's pretty resilient and it gets shenanigan-y, you know, as Bant colors are opt to do, especially when, you know, there's like Deadeye Navigators and Revelarchs and Karma Guides and stuff like
Janara,
that involved.
But you're
pretty
you're saying you're running like a Bant good stuff. You're not really running then like the kind of Voltron like that you typically see with Janara.
No, not at all. But I find that, like, and she's chosen because she can go aggro. Like, she can come down early, she flies, she can go aggro with a million mana, and there's a ramp package in there that's pretty substantial, so, like, it's relevant. But, like, I don't want to play Rafik, because people just, like, prison rape you off the table.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know what I mean? And I couldn't locate my Treva that I wanted to use, so I was like, well, that's out. And I have plans for a Feldegriff deck, which I will make, like, out of this one, once I decide to just dirtle it out. But, you know, I figured that I wanted something...
Ugly bitches don't get to ride the bus.
So, that's right! So oh, I went man. With...
Did you guys
I went
see my new commander list?
Nope.
The Borogobos, or I don't even know how to pronounce
Borogobos?
It.
Borogobos?
Bobo? I guess they call them Bobo, just, right?
Bobo.
You made, like...
So, yeah, did you guys see that list? Yeah, I flashback a Creeping Renaissance, and basically the guy was hitting me with a Sword of Body Mind. So he, like, milled me, like, four times because he hit me like four times. So like 40 of my cards are in the graveyard. So I just flashed back. He milled the creeping resistance and creeper. I keep saying resistance. A creeping renaissance says return all cards of a chosen, all permanents of a chosen type from your graveyard to your hand. Right. So I just returned all my lands and I just threw them at him from with Bobo. It was sweet.
With Bobo.
With Bobo.
You should just call the deck Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
And then that's funny because he burns you and he's a guy. It's also funny because Bobo was Mr. Burns's missing bear. See, he's what you call it. And then also, it's like a third joke just sneaks in there. Bobo Rigmos, you could call him Bobo.
Is that how you
like Rigmos? Like Rigmos is his last name. Like Mr. Rigmos, we got the documents you wanted to look at. They're not pretty. Tom, the intern, he is supposed to take care of him, but he was busy doing something this weekend. Something terrible.
Mr. Rigmos,
I'm sorry. Please, John. Please, don't worry about it. Call me Bobo.
Oh man. Yeah, so I built that deck. That's my latest project. It has 52 lands.
Holy fucking shit.
And it runs Exploration. It runs Mana Bond. It runs Burgeoning. And it's just like, just pukes lands on the battlefield. And then I use Scapeshift. I float mana, use Scapeshift, Valakut them with Prismatic Omen. And then all the lands that I sacked, I used that floated mana to cast Creeping Renaissance, take all those lands back into my hand, and then freaking dome them.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's super sweet, man.
Nice.
So is this better or worse than the Bant one, the Zagana one?
Oh, it's more fun than Zagana, but Zagana's definitely better.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to win an EDH game, I'm definitely playing Zagana. If I want to just, like, troll the crap out of people by, like, playing Bobo and, like, hitting them with lands, I'm going to do that, you know?
Nice. So, Jay, you played an SCG IQ this weekend, didn't you?
So I played a modified version of Saito Red Green, which everybody was on to, because everybody was talking about it, and then I was like, whatever, I'm just going to next level these guys. So I took Saito's red-green, and I really liked the list, and I played it, I only played it at FNM the night before, but it worked really well. The thing that I kind of noticed a lot about the red-green, and it was the one that, what was the list? It's 20 lands, and then you have Reckoners, Hellriders, Boars, Ash Zealots, Cacklers, Nobles, Searing Spears, like, and Rancors, I think, are the other ones? Yeah. And, so the thing that I really noticed about the deck a lot is that Rancor is a cool spell that it bounces back to your hand, but a lot of times you don't ever get to recast it ever because you cast it off an emissary or you you need your two mana to cast like your Ash Zealot, and then your Ash Zealot dies, and then you have a Rancor in your hand. You can't cast on anything, and so I didn't like Rancor. I also didn't like that it didn't pump the rear end of my guys. Because you got to pump rear ends, and I found like all my guys are tiny little wieners, and that's not good. You got to pump their rear ends. So
if you have a tiny wiener, you have to pump the rear end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? You gotta
obviously.
Right? Yeah. So I made some changes. I took out all four Rancors and I replaced them with Volcanic Strengths. Because going turn one Noble or turn one Cackler into a Volcanic Strength, when so many people are playing red right now, was almost backbreaking. There was, and even when they weren't, even when they like were leading with like a shock land or a shock land tapped, like going turn two Volcanic Strength was just the nut. So it worked really well. And then what else did I take out? I removed something. I felt like I wanted to play another forest. I didn't get around to doing it. I played with four Mizzium Mortars in the sideboard. I feel like I should have had at least one of those in the main. Mizzium Mortars is really good, just as like a turn to kill your guy spell. And I mean, the deck's really fun. Like, there was a lot of times you just go turn two Cackler, or sorry, turn one to Cackler or turn one Noble, and then either a turn two like enchantment to kill them, and nobody's playing spot removal. I mean, I'm sure that they'll start now that Reckoner's a really big deal. but nobody was really playing. Nobody was really playing spot removal, so that's a really good play. Or you can go emissary into Burning Spirit or Mizzium Mortars and kill their guy. And a lot of times, like, you have problems with big guys like that that come down
Spirit, early. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Like they come down early with like if it's their turn three and it's your turn two, and they've played like that 4/4 elephant guy. So he actually is really good at shutting down like this deck because he's so beefy so early. And that's kind of what you struggle with a lot, I found. And yeah, so I feel like I wanted a Mizzium Mortars at least one main deck. And I mean, the spears were fine. I never sided into Flames of the Firebrand, which is the 3 mana. I think it's a sorcery and it's 3 damage that you can split. I never sided that card in one single time. I think that card is actually garbage. And I'd rather have, like, remove those from my sideboard and have the Mizzium Mortars instead of what I ended up taking out. I don't really remember what that was, but yeah, but it was really fun. I had a great time, and I got to play at Trilogy Games again, and so kudos to them. They actually are doing so good. I'm really, really, really happy with the way that they're kind of turning out, so... I just hope they keep doing what they're doing, and yeah, and I mean they give me free waters. They all heard my shout outs from the last episode, which I didn't really expect, and you know, they gave me some free waters. So, you know, what's up with that? I'm sorry, I'm a baller now. I'm a baller. Yeah, you know it. And I wore my all my mana deprived stuff. Yeah, I was representing.
Nice.
And so, you know, but it's a good time.
Oh, man. I love that. And they gave me free waters. So
yeah. Like, what'd you guys do this weekend? You get some free waters? Nope. You probably didn't.
We probably did not.
So how did? So I got to ask.
Yeah.
Because maybe you told me and I just wasn't paying attention.
Excuse me, I almost choked on my own spit there. Right.
You didn't actually tell
right,
us.
I believe
right?
That's
you just
probably
said
what
that it was sweet. And the deck that you played.
Okay, so I ended up going X1 in the Swiss. The only round that I lost was to Aggro Jund, which was insane. So my buddy Earl was playing that, and let me tell you, Earl is the best motherfucking person on the planet. This guy is like he's like the KYT of Alberta, but his head is not enormous. Right, so he's like so polite to play against. If you beat him, he's got a smile cool. on his face. He offers the handshake and he just says good games, and then he talks to you about the matches. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't complain about shit that he missed. He calls you sir the whole time. You know, you feel good playing against Earl. So big shout outs to Earl. But yeah, so he was playing Aggro Jund and he just absolutely just crapped on my parade. It was not nice. So I did end up making the top 8, which I was really proud of. So it was fun. There was lots of good players there. And I basically, all my matches, I had to, you know, really play my games really well. And then I ended up beating Earl in the quarterfinals. So that was a nice little bit of redemption. And then what happened? Oh, and then I forgot that there's no time in the top 8, unfortunately. And of course, so there was 2 players playing like the Bant matchup. And they were playing the mirror in top 8, and their match took like almost 2 hours. It was insane. So because of that, I ended up having to leave. I had some dinner plans. So I had to scoot my buddy Cass into the top 4. He was playing Jund midrange, and I had seen him throughout the day playing it. And I was pretty sure that I could do fairly well and beat him. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but I was pretty confident. But he ended up going on to win the tournament, so that was good. But all in all, like, it was a really good time. It was really awesome. You know, Trilogy Games is trying really hard to do the right thing. So that was fun. You know, there's a guy that plays there that is under investigation for cheating. And I've meant to talk about this a million times before. And I haven't. So I wanted to just kind of get serious for a minute here. There's a guy that plays there. He is young. And he got, well, I don't know if he got caught, but he got basically caught cheating and then got, he's under investigation right now. And I don't have any, like, ill will towards this kid. Like, you know, he probably just wants to be really cool in front of all of his friends that play Magic and are really good at Magic and stuff. The problem I actually have is with the rest of the community, especially at Trilogy, where a lot of people are not, like, I don't know what the right word is. Like, I don't want to say shaming, but it's almost shaming. They're not like treating this like he's a cheater. Basically, they're like being all buddy buddy with him, and they're playtesting with him, and they're playing Magic with him, and it's a joke, right? Like he'll come around, and people will be like, "Oh, when's your suspension up or whatever?" And then he'll be like, "Oh, you know, like just in a little while, whatever, no big deal." And they're like, "Oh, sweet. Well, hopefully it happens soon, so you can just get back on the game." And he's like, "Yeah, me too." And then they're like, "Ah, dicks for suspending you." And it's like, "Come on, guys, like." You know what? If this guy learns from his mistake of cheating, then that's amazing. And he is definitely not going to be motivated to learn from his mistake of cheating if you basically encourage him and treat it like nothing's wrong. So I have a really big problem with that. So I really hope some people start kind of acting differently. And you know, you don't have to treat the guy like a piece of shit. He's not a piece of shit. But just don't encourage him and don't tell him it's fine and don't, you know, make light of the situation. It's a very serious situation. And of course, like I had to play him in the first round. And I mean, we're kind of buddies. Like, I'm not going to say that we're best friends or anything, but, you know, he talks to me like we're buddies and I treat him like he's a buddy. Cause like I said, he's not a piece of shit. I just don't agree with what he did. Okay. And so wait, I played him.
This is so weird. Cause you just talked about how people are not like shaming him. And then you're like, yeah, he's kind of my buddy. Well, no. Like, he's not a piece of shit. You know?
Just wait. There was shame going on for me. I had to play him in the first round. And so in the first round, I sit down and he sits across from me and he's really buddy-buddy. He's really excited. He's really animated. He's very Burton Cheedy. He acts a lot like Burton Cheedy did in the videos. He's a lot like that. He has mannerisms a lot like that. And so I don't say a single word to him. And then we roll the dice to see who goes first. It ends up being me. And I don't say a single word to him the whole match except for keep. And that's it. And I just basically like death stared him the whole match to make sure. And he was feeling the pressure. Like he knew what I was looking for. He made sure to like always lay his hand out flat. When he was drawing his cards, he made sure to rub them on the table first. When he was drawing his opening hand, he counted them like individually and looked at you. And, you know, there was some stuff that looked kind of shady, and he was trying to make sure that, you know, I was, you know, doing the right thing. And I think I gave him the right impression, but I just absolutely dominated him in that match. And then throughout the day, I basically tried to be as cold as I could to him. And again, like I said, it's not because of anything other than the fact that I really need the message to not be that it's okay for you to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I think that was a good PSA, you know?
Yeah, like I know I wasn't as ranty or crazy or funny as normal, but I just think like that stuff just needs to stop. I can't handle that shit. Like I'm not allowed to be the guy that comes into the shop and is like, "Fuck you, cheater." But if that's not what I'm allowed to do, then we definitely need to stop like getting this guy to think that it's okay that he cheats. That's the opposite of what we should be doing, you know? Uh-huh. We should be forcing him to learn from his mistakes kind of idea. And the way that and I don't want him to learn to cheat better. I want him to learn to, you know, stop doing it. That's the point.
To stop doing it in the first place.
I agree.
So yeah, but it was fun. And, you know, I mean, in my match against him in game one, I played a Noble, and then he played a tapped Shockland. And then I played a Volcanic Strength and cracked him for 3. And the Noble went up to 4. And I don't even know, to be honest, I don't know what he's playing. I was pretty sure he was playing blue, white, red, but I didn't get to see enough of his cards. So he played another tap land, and I played a emissary into an emissary into, I want to say like a burning spirit of his face. And then cracked.
Searing Spear, damn it.
Yeah, or sorry, Searing Spear to the face. What do I keep saying?
You keep saying Burning Spear.
Burning Spear. Searing Spear to the face. And then I cracked him for 4. And then he basically, I said go. And then he basically counted up his damage and then scooped. So that was fun. Those are always fun games to play. And yeah, I really liked that deck. It was really fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Fuck you, cheater.
Fuck, oh man, my buddy Peter Como, he's like a super new brewer, right? Like he's the nicest guy on the fucking planet.
What, you just said that about Earl?
He's not as nice as Earl.
Got you.
But he is super nice. He's super nice. But he's also like a super brewer. And so he always plays these like weird shitty brews. And he's the only person that was undefeated in the Swiss, going 6-0 with an Orzhov control deck that played that demonic card that gets you a creature, a 5/5 flying demon at the end of your turn if you control exactly one creature. He played that. Yeah, that was creature. His deck. That and Obsidat. That was... Well, and then he also had Kyrr.
And Obsidat was the one creature.
Yeah. Yeah. Like make your Kyrr into a guy, get a 5/5 demon, go, and then at the end of your turn, you get a 5/5 demon for having the 5/5 demon, or play Obsidat, drain you, blink him, get a 5/5 demon, and then again, play Obsidat, blink him, get a 5/5 demon. Because you have a 5/5 demon, so you get a 5/5 demon. You got a 5/5 demon? Nice. You want a 5/5 demon? You got a 5/5 demon. That's how that works. And he went 6-0. He went fucking crazy 6-0.
Wow.
Yeah, the Swiss cut to top 8, and so unfortunately the hero had to leave early, so he only got to top 4, but that's okay.
Did you get anything packs or for something. Your fourth place, or what?
Whoa. Yeah.
Draft them, but also open anything, or are you gonna I draft those didn't get them because I had to leave right away, so I'm banked, or whatever. Also got like a playmat, like the top 8 gotcha. Got, and I got a pin that was top 8. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep,
beep. Nice.
Got the SCGICQ top 8. What do you? You know, you got fucking nothing.
You got fucking nothing.
Oh man, nice SCGIQ top 8, bro.
Sweet. Player points. How many of those you got? You don't.
TCG player points? I got infinite of those, man.
Wait. Infinite. No way.
Yeah, you can buy them, bro. You can buy them.
You can buy him. He's got
those. What the fuck is that shit?
Oh man,
I earned.
Truth.
So you say.
I earned. He says.
I can't believe you could buy those. You could just buy those like tokens. Like you just
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, yeah, they're worth $2 a piece. I think.
Order some G player points. Fuck.
I mean, you can't buy them from TCG Player. You have to buy them from Player. Can you buy them from TCG? No, right? Yeah, you can buy them from Players.
No.
It's like money on the trade floor.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, I want $2 for these points. I'm like, look, I'll give you 50 cents and I won't smack you in the face, okay?
Where the people are like selling them as currency.
Yeah, yeah. They're in your binder. You put them in your binder and you're like, yeah, man, $2 a piece. Because like when that qualifier tournament comes around, it costs like so many points to get in.
Okay.
And then basically, like, people just go and get the points they need, and then they go and play in it.
Yeah, or people, like, spike out IQ tournaments, and then they sell the invitation.
It's pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet racket, you know?
Huh. Crazy. Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm going to sell my 2 G player points and make $4.
You have 2 of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, please sell those so you can stop talking about having them. Oh my gosh. I got TCG player points. I got TCG. How many TCG player points? It's like, come on, dude, just sell those. Yeah.
Hashtag whiny bitch.
Hashtag who gives a shit?
Chicka chicka.
I'm so like, don't care about constructed magic right now. So it's just like, nothing can impress me. I mean, we just had the Pro Tour champion on. And I'm just like,
So I got a deck tech just for you, by the way, John. Yeah, I did.
Oh, sick.
Ali Anchazi was playing Unexpected Results, and I got a deck tech with him, and I told him expressly that I needed to get it because you, in particular, were so anxious to play the deck, and I thought that if anyone's going to be able to tell us how to play the deck properly,
did he say, like, screw with you, he's Anchazi. A dirtbag.
No, he said, really? Oh, that's awesome.
He lost a bunch of weight.
I'd be happy to give you a deck tech. So he did.
Oh, man. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, so story. So I'm sitting there, and like I had known that he'd been running jokes on his Facebook that he's, you know, half the man
he used to be
and so on and so forth. So like I knew this was a thing. It was interesting because I was watching Ruben, and he was just like hovering over this table, and I couldn't figure out why. And this is like towards the end of the constructed rounds on Friday or whatever. I'm trying to get him so we can go out to Bowfinger for dinner. Bitches! Anyways, so I'm looking at him, and all of a sudden I look down, and I'm looking at the at the table, and there's a Door of Nothingness in play, tapped. The guy says, go. And I look down, and I'm like, sure enough, it's Ali Entrazi. And I'm like, oh my god! And I like had to double take, because there was no way I was going to recognize him. Anyways, so it was pretty crazy when... And we watched him just fucking door the guy right to the face, scoop up his cards and move on. It was fucking awesome.
He say, I'm going to open the door?
But, so when I saw him on day two...
He's like, let me show you the door.
No. So he's like, door you? Anyways, so I will... So it's up on Man Deprived, and you should take a look, because I made sure to tell him. Like, I actually actively also tried to find a foil copy of Unexpected Results and get him to sign it so I could ship it to you. But I,
yeah, he's so skinny.
But I
you
lost track of him
now.
After I got my hands on the foil one. So
yeah, and he's boom gone.
Well, it was like he turned sideways and pulled a Kate Moss on me, you know? Yeah. So
I'll check.
But
it
yeah,
out.
But
yeah,
the deck takes up a mana.
I was kind of bummed. I gotta admit, you know, KYT was pumping this like mana deprived coverage and like Pro Tour this, and I was like, oh man, sweet! Like Scotty Mac's gonna be on the job. There's gonna be all kinds of posts on Mana Deprived, and like. 2 hours into the tournament, there was still nothing. And I was like, ah, man, like, I'm not going to watch this anymore. So I had to change my browser page, man. You know, get on the ball, KYT. Stop messing around, man.
I was fucking around, man.
So what happened, though? What happened with the coverage? Because, like, I guess you guys teamed up with Gathering Magic or something? Or
No, it was just like... Yeah, well, Scott completely killed it on Saturday and Sunday. On Friday and Saturday, Scott completely destroyed it. Even got Adrian Sullivan to tweet. It's really nice of him to say, there's a veritable ton of deck techs on Mana Deprived website. Thanks to Ali for the link. So Scott was doing an insane job.
Also, thanks to Durf, too, because Durf actually was my cameraman for the day. So he's responsible for all of those glorious shots, up to and including the gratuitous crotch shots of the first video with myself and Matthias Hunt. Really funny.
I just didn't really know how to approach coverage. And outside of the deck text that Scott and Durf were going to do.
Uh-huh.
And partly on Friday, I was doing Team Panic a big favor because their t-shirts were coming in to LSV's hotel during the tournament, and they really wanted them. And I'm friends with John Sasso, the owner of CFB, and basically messaged me like, dude, I really need a big, big favor from you. None of the other players will do it. We'll go to the hotel, which is, for some reason, the TO got the hotel that's a decent walk from the venue, like a 15-minute walk, whereas other tournaments that we've been at, the one we like GP Columbus, it's like right across the street. This one was a decent walk, and so none of the players wanted to risk getting the t-shirts and missing around. So I spent a good time going to LSV's room waiting for them to bring up the box of t-shirts, and so I spent like a bulk of my afternoon doing that. And Friday, when Scott got all the footage together, I decided to go home to process and edit all the footage, which took a long time. So I didn't have a lot of time to actually be at the event and like take a bunch of pictures and do the coverage that I wanted to do.
Wow. So you were at home when the Pro Tour was going on?
Saturday morning, yeah, to make sure I got the Martell, Reed Duke, and who else did you do that day?
Matthias.
And it took a long time to just upload that because my camera was taking some HD footage. So that was like, it took a lot longer than I thought to upload that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a blowout, man.
I'm really happy with the work Scott was able to do. And we learned a lot about how to do it better next time. So that's sweet. And you know, people enjoyed the fact we've got some YouTube comments saying that, you know, that we covered the more important decks than Wizards did. So again, big ups to Scott and Durf.
Yeah, Scott knows what's up. That's why, man. He knows what to get. You know, no, seriously. Like, so sometimes I feel like Wizards is like, well, I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing, man? Failing.
Well, it was actually the funniest situation. We were we're at the Manita Pride party on Saturday, and, you know, of course, Peter, like, gives me the mic. And he's like, here, open it up. And I'm like, all right. So I, like, tell everyone, and I'm like, yeah, hey, everybody. You know, welcome to the party. You know, thanks so much for everyone coming out. You know, we had one goal this weekend with coverage, and that was, like, to just, you know, sheerly outdo Watsy on the deck techs. And we killed ourselves today, and we fucking kicked their ass. And it was really funny because, like, Trick was in there with another guy that's responsible for coverage.
I think it was Nate.
So anyway, so he called me up pretty large on that one later on. No, no, no. Well, Nate was there, I think, but it wasn't Nate. It was some. I think it was some guy named Brian. Anyways, it was really, really funny.
I don't know if you were drunk or distracted, but he did, like, call you out based on that comment when he went up to the mic. Yeah, he's like,
really?
Yeah, you made a joke, a comment about it. He's like, I love your party, but something along the lines of, like, a response to what you said.
Oh. Anyways, no, it was good. He caught me afterwards, actually. We had a discussion about it, and I'm just like, look, you know what? I said, honestly, our goal was just to sheerly overwhelm you with quantity. Like, I knew we had, you know, the goods to do it. We've got the people, we've got the connections, and it was just something that we really wanted to do to try to, you know, establish and cement, especially here on home turf. And, you know, we actually got a lot of praise and accolades for it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was just like, you know what? It's awesome. You know, he told me it's awesome for them to see sites like ours take it so seriously and want to do so much good, because it's only, you know, it only benefits the community and it benefits everybody involved.
Right. And,
it's just a fantastic
situation.
It was
cool to hear. I don't know who exactly told us, if it was Tom himself, that said, like, their team rejected them because of the last Pro Tour, because they posted the SCG deck way too early. They trusted us to post it the next day, even though, like, obviously I'm extremely linked to my team, but it was really awesome for him to do that.
Yeah, and Tom did a really good job on that one too. Like, he was pretty forthcoming with sort of like all of the different strategies, what they're looking to do, what the sideboard plan looks like, you know, how it's going to work. And because of that, I think it was a really successful deck tech, but we absolutely, yeah, we wanted to make sure we honored the, you know, don't put this.
And I just wanted to make the last comment. Not, I mean, it's going to sound like an excuse, but Scott can confirm that they really left us no real room to do any coverage. And, like, we weren't able to move, like, a table around just to, like, do the deck techs that we wanted to. So we had to, basically on Saturday, we had to do it right next to people who were drafted, like, in the middle of the whole stage where everyone was playing and chatting. So they didn't, like, in the press room, I mean, they had literally no room to actually do anything, and we had to get creative, basically.
That's interesting. See, that's the kind of stuff I like to hear about, you know? Like, all the struggles and all the stuff to get the content, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the way they put it to us was like, guys, yeah, moving a table is a union thing. I actually have to call somebody to come and do it, and we get in shit if we let you do it. So you gotta stop. We're like, really? They're like, yeah. I'm like, all right.
Wow.
And it's kind of weird because
that's retarded.
The press room, basically it was near the washroom, so literally anyone could actually go in. And I had some expensive stuff in there, laptop and my camcorder and maybe my phone that was charging, like maybe over $1,000 of stuff. And someone could easily just walk in there and steal all my shit. I was hoping that they weren't, because a lot of people, like Stibbs, Ruben, just left their laptop there, and at times the room was completely unintended. So if I was malicious, I could have easily stolen something. And apparently nothing got stolen except Marshall, who ended up losing his iPad Mini somehow.
That's bullshit and terrible. Not bullshit as in like bullshit. It didn't happen.
But the funny thing is he knows where it is, but he forgot. He didn't install Find My iPad or Find My iPhone app. Which is a shame. So the only reason he was able to track where it was the fact that that person logged into his Gmail, and Gmail actually, like, check if you, there's like somewhere you go to show you who has logged in and from where. And so he had an idea, but it's like in some sort of dorm. So the cops can't really do anything about that. So he's sort of stuck where the iPad's right there, but I don't think he's going to get that back.
So someone stole it.
I guess so. But it just freaks me out because if Marshall did lose it at the venue, it had to have been someone who was a plus one or had a press pass and stole that mini.
It wasn't me.
I love how he's laughing about it.
It wasn't me, I promise.
So yeah, that is kind of troubling. Did you get to see the iPad mini at all? I'm kind of kicking around buying one of those.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that the new ones are on the horizon, John.
You think I should chill out?
Don't you have like every single version of the big iPad?
Yeah,
I had every version. I mean, I sell them here and there, like as things happen, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I don't hold on to them, you know what I mean? Like I just sell them. Like when a new one comes out, I'll sell it and buy a new one. Right now, I have like the step down from the latest.
Right. Right.
The latest one has the like plug, like the iPhone 5 plug,
right?
And I don't have that one. I have like the best version of the version before that. Yeah, I think that's what I have.
You have the iPad 3.
I'm thinking about keeping my 3 and getting a mini, just because like I feel like a mini would be better on the trade floor than the big iPad 3.
That is reasonable. I actually have the iPad and the Nexus 7, and the Nexus 7 is basically an iPad mini, and it is better. It is better in some scenarios, even though you think that the iPad is portable. Like the difference, it does make a difference.
So is that North? And you're saying there's a new one on the horizon?
No, I'm not saying that there is going to be, for sure.
There's new Apple products every year, so they'll announce something in August.
So you're just trying to tell me not to go.
But you're baller. You're baller, so you might as well just get. It's like, like you got the your iPad baller, 3 after the iPad 2, so I'm like, why would I tell you not to buy the iPad mini?
Yeah, I just feel like it would be more helpful on the floor. But I don't know. We'll see. See what happens. I mean, now that KYT is all like talking it down and stuff, who knows, man?
So the one thing that, the one most amazing event that I did have while I was there was, and I posted them on my Facebook. But I actually was able to get pictures with Marshall and Rich Hagan at the actual Pro Tour coverage. Achievement unlocked. I was able to get... So Marshall took me backstage. I saw where all the writers are. I said hi to Trick. Helene Bourgeot was back there. She was a blast. But... Woo. Oh, no, she's awesome. Woo. She's absolutely like the most amazing person in the world. We partied with her so large, and she was just, she's a blast. So, anyway, so we ended up, it was just before her Pro Tour announcement. That's funny.
Isn't that what people have been bitching about for like ever?
Yeah. So they brought it back. Fourth Pro Tour. Very exciting. Anyway, so yeah, I got to see everything back there. I got to see like all of the camera feeds that there's like literally a small television station back there. It's crazy. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. So I was able to get some pictures and stand behind the desk, and it was awesome. Next, maybe they'll, turn the cameras on when I'm back there.
Scott's like slowly inching his way in there, you know? Pretty soon, he's going to be a coverage mogul.
Yeah. Well,
You
gotta have dreams.
Helene Bourgeot. I have to shout her out, too. She was awesome. She actually came out to support our party. And she came in to party and celebrate Tom Martell's win. So she's pretty damn awesome, I have to say.
I got to drink out of the cup. Yeah, that was cool. I got a picture of me beside it also, so that was pretty sweet as well. There was just
way better than the place I went to. What was it called? No, well, obviously, SCG Cincy.
SCG like, Cincy?
Come on, like, the Pro Tour party with you guys would be way better than that. I'm talking about, like, when I went to Canada. Where did I go? Toronto. This sounds way better than Toronto, man.
Well, you know, it's funny because we weren't actually playing, right? So there's a lot more time to get a lot more
playing out. Is not the greatest, by the way. Who cares? I didn't play at SCG Cincy. I was totally treated all day.
I think it might have been. It might have been different. It was different for me. I'm trying to remember the difference between the GP Toronto, because the karaoke was way better in Toronto. But I think for me, it was a lot of the things that I really enjoy about Montreal is because it was a pro tour and I got to see certain people that I would have never otherwise seen, that would have never bothered to go to Toronto for just the GP. So it was pretty sweet to actually meet Hélène Bourgeot for the first time. Yeah. It was pretty sweet to meet Martel didn't go to Toronto, neither did Jerry, neither, like, a lot of my, and like freaking Patrick Chapin was there. So it's like, you know, there were more of the top end personalities there. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons.
Was Toronto a pro tour or was it a GP?
Toronto's a GP. Yeah. But Montreal was the pro tour, obviously. Yeah, we had a, it was pretty insane. Yeah, we ended up having brunch with Conley on Sunday because he was going to gunsling for the event that ended up falling through, which was sad, but it should have run off. Anyway, so he came out anyway. And we sat down, we had breakfast at Cora's, and it was just so awesome. Like, just hanging out with Conley all day was insane. I made him tell KYT the Aristocrats joke because he had never heard it.
Yeah, I'm serious. What are you talking about?
No, are you serious? Have you heard of the movie The Aristocrats?
No. Okay,
like, not the Disney film?
I've only heard of the Disney movie, The Aristocrats. God. Isn't that Aristocats or some shit like that?
Okay. So listen. I'm not gonna tell the joke on the cast, okay? For those of you at home, you can go to YouTube and I'm sure if you put in Bob Saget's The Aristocrats, the funniest one, it'll come up.
His version isn't even the funniest one.
What's that?
Like, Gilbert Gottfried's is pretty hilarious.
Whose is?
I gotta watch this stuff.
Yeah, so, like, seriously, if you can, like, if you got Netflix and you can get The Aristocrats on Netflix, you should watch it because it's fucking hilarious. I was, like, in tears listening to, the joke's insane. It's so funny. But anyway, so, Jay, you're going to love this. So, like, we're sitting at breakfast at Cora's and I'm eating this crepe, okay, that's full of bananas, strawberries, and Nutella.
It's okay. Chocolate. Yeah.
Nutella is a hazelnut chocolate spread, right? Yeah. So I'm like, there's whipped cream on the top and powdered sugar and all that stuff. And I'm like eating this huge fucking crepe. And we're talking about The Aristocrats. And KYT's like, yeah, I have no idea. Oh. Like, I've never heard of this before.
Who is pretty as fuck? No.
Right? And like, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. She's a gorgeous girl. I don't know why she's with you. Anyways, it's the giant head.
Yeah, it's the big giant Bobby.
So we're sitting there, and I look at Conley, and I'm like, you got to tell this joke, because like we had just finished discussing, you know, Conley's past comedic stand up, and he's just like, what, right now? And I look down at my plate, and I'm like pushing around this piece of crepe in a sea of like chocolate, and I'm like, probably not. He's like, plus the woman that's sitting beside me. I'm like, that. Right? Anyways. So he tells it later, and it was really good. He did a really good job, actually. There were some neat, unique twists that he put into it that I will take.
I love that you're telling us a story about a story that you actually can't tell. It's great. Like,
John's like, fuck you.
Anyways, it was pretty sweet. But yeah, just hanging out with everybody was just insanely surreal. Like, on my way, we were leaving karaoke on Sunday, right? And so I go by, and I'm, like, on my way out, and there was some guy that I don't even know. I shook his hand, and then I shake the hands of, like, Jansen, right? Who was the finalist in the Pro Tour. And he's like, killer job on karaoke. I'm like, thanks. Next beside him is Kenny Oberg, the Tesserator. Shake his hand. Then next beside him is Raph Levy. I shake his hand. Oh, because he borrowed my iPhone earlier in the night to look up lyrics. Like, surreal, starstruck night. Insanity. That is a pro tour. Going to those things, that's what it is. Getting to hang out with these, like, absurdly high-level people that you would never in a million years, like, when you're cracking your first boosters and going to FNM, think that you would ever hang out.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It was such an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, it's actually, like... So. Like, looking back at it is like whatever, but like when you put it that way, I never thought like 2 years ago I would get to hang out with any of these guys. So
right? And it was fucking hilarious. We go to pick Conley up from his hotel room and he answers in a t-shirt and a towel. It was so funny.
Look at that.
We're just like, oh shit, you're like naked. Yeah. So I do have to say that I am pretty excited that I get to start up my stream again on Monday.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's awesome. That's actually thanks to, what's his name, Heath at MTGO Traders, which is pretty cool. This is pretty cool of him, actually. So Legit MTG is doing an article series with Scotty. If you guys haven't heard of it, then you're idiots. But I'll break it down for you. Basically, he's playing a bunch of decks in Modern, and he's just battling every which night is it, Scotty?
So we're gonna battle on Mondays, and then the article with the stream will go up like on Friday. So you can be there live, check the archives.
Yeah. So like, in order to battle with all these decks, we need Moto cards. And the way that we did it before is like, I bought infinite Moto cards, which is a lot of freaking money. So spending a lot of freaking money on Moto cards is not the best use of money for Legit MTG. So we talked to Heath, and we were actually worked something out with him, and he's now helping to sponsor this series.
Wow.
Yeah, which is insane. So he and I shared some emails today. I've got my deck. I just have to pick it up from him this weekend, or like tomorrow or whatever. And so like, order's all in, everything's all set. I'm really, really excited. It's just, he's been so good to work with, and we're very, very excited about the opportunity. And so you guys could all check it out. I get to play my, like, I'm starting with like a nice, sick, spicy, dirty, kill.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know who Heath is from MTGO Traders, a lot of people, it's actually surprising to me. I'll just be like, this is Medina confession hour for a second. I actually used to make money by basically buying cards from MTGO Traders and reselling them to people. So like, a lot of people don't know about MTGO Traders, and it's basically a website just like, you know, legitmtg.com, like manatopride.com, but you can buy Moto cards on there, and you just buy them from the website and they deliver them to your screen name. And like,
it's so weird that people don't know about it either, because like, when I first started playing Moto, I was like, oh, where do you get cards? I don't know, I guess you Google that, and the first link was MTGO Traders, and that's where I went.
Yeah, but people have bought cards from there. They don't know, and they're just like, yeah, well, do you sell Moto cards? And I'm like, yes, I do. What do you need? And they're like, here's a list. And then I look at the list. I go to MTGO Traders. I like get the price. And then I say, okay, it's going to be like $20 more. And then they're like, okay. And then I'm like, whoop, hit buy,
yeah,
transfer the cards, easy $20. So it's just crazy people don't know about this. And one thing that I guess people also don't know about these guys, another thing that I actually take advantage of to do, because whenever you're like, when I'm buying collections and stuff, all of this stuff is all kind of interconnected. Sometimes people want to go from paper into Moto, and what I do is I arbitrate that for them. Like, I'll take the cards, I'll buy list them, and then I'll buy the cards from MTGO Traders, you know? But MTGO Traders actually just does that. So if you're looking to convert your paper collection into Moto, they will like buy list you and then give you a percentage, a credit percentage. I think it's 20% or something, toward Moto cards, which is really sweet, and which is actually a way that you can, if other people don't know, you can just use it to make money, you know, like I was doing back in the day. Yeah, I don't have a lot of time to do that kind of crap nowadays. I just, you know.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I just tell people, yeah, go to MTGO Traders.
I have an empire to run. Yeah. So it's going to be sweet. Like, there's going to be, so you should watch the show, because there's going to be like a PayPal pass that's given out, like a PayPal password, so you can get a discount on your singles there. And Medina's going to also pony up some.
Yeah, so if Moto is not your thing, and you just want to watch for like the Modern deck techs and like watch Scott like stomp people into the ground, then we're also going to be giving out a bunch of Legit MTG store credit, so you can buy like paper cards from us. So yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, we've taken a while to get back, but I mean, like, with the Pro Tour and everything else that's happening, and you know, life, it's been getting in the way, and we wanted to make sure that when we brought it back proper. So I think that with the model we've got in place, it's going to be pretty sick. So you guys can tune in and check it out. It's on, obviously, twitch.tv/legitmtg. And we'll see you all at... likely and get started at 9:30.
Like, another PM plug for this. Eastern. I know I'm sounding like a freaking commercial right now. But, like, you had Tom Martell on there last season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We've already got a bunch of people that have agreed to do it this time around as well. Like, you know, Shaheen Sarani's going to be on when we look at some, you know, gift stacks or whatever. And there's lots and lots and lots of people that are down. Like, AJ said he'd come on and help me out too. And Granny and Jack are both around.
Last
so
season,
lots
had,
of people.
Yep. You had John Medina. That
Max
guy's awesome. Green
as well.
Yeah, he was sweet on there. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of this, this whole thing. I love watching it. I love kind of just trolling the show and maybe being a little bit of a lurker, but yeah, I gotta put the plug in for my boy Scotty. Yeah, I'm definitely a lurker. You don't know it. I don't sign in sometimes because I know that you're gonna see that I'm in there. So I just kind of like watch, you know, while I'm running on my elliptical or something. It's always at workout time when you're going on. So
also, no. Any of you guys follow the Amazing Chris on Twitter? So he very clearly has been on, like, this dietary regimen of Greek yogurt every morning. But what you have to understand is that apparently when he eats this yogurt in the morning, I'm going to pull an example up here.
He sounds Christian amazing, Renaud, by the way.
He's from Off Color Cast, actually. Okay. So anyway, so he's eating this stuff, and every morning what he does is so the Greek yogurt apparently is being fed to him by some large gay Greek man named Stavros. And so an example is, so this morning's comment was, I wake up to find Stavros gave me a homemade gastric bypass. I have been forced consuming the same regurgitated yogurt for hours. And I'll give you the one from yesterday. Eating with family of Stavros, his three brothers eye me lustily as I choke down a punch bowl of yogurt. Why am I the only one eating? But anyways, it's really funny. And like, I took a stand and refused the yogurt this morning. Stavros has been force feeding me chalk and paste to show me how grateful I should be.
Oh, sounds like the worst.
Anyways, the amazing Chris on Twitter. It's totally worth it, even if it's just to wake up in the morning, drink coffee, and then spit it out because I'm laughing at the events of him and Stavros. So there you go. Anyways, so yeah, do we have anything else, Jay?
Nope.
I
have one other thing. At the SCGCICQC, whatever that thing's called, there's this guy named Wayne Ma, I think. And he was a really nice guy. And he had just gotten back into the game after 15 years of being away. And he's actually a really good player for being out, but he was really nervous. He was like Heather Meek. He was really nervous. He didn't know what to do. He didn't want
Heather Meek.
What's going on? He was really afraid. Like, what if I do this? What if I do that? But he was the perfect player that I want to see in the community a lot more. We played our games, and I beat him. And it took us three games. He beat me in game two, and at the end of game three, he offered the handshake. And we were sleeving up, and he signed the match slip, and then he asked me if I had time to tell him what I thought he did wrong. He had no idea who I was, so he wasn't like a fan. Wow. He wasn't like trolling me, or wasn't like a joke. And
I mean, if he did know who you were, he wouldn't have asked you that. But yeah, keep going.
Did you know that I could have maybe improved on anything I did wrong, or I hesitated, or I did something, I did X, I did Y? And we had like a really good conversation about it. And we talked about a bunch of stuff that thought he could have this, you know, he did it that way because of this. But now that he saw the other side of it, he's thinking about it, and he thinks that I'm right, or he thinks that I was wrong. But it was an interesting perspective to think about, and just things like that. And that's the kind of player that I really want around especially when I'm playing Magic. I don't want players where when they lose, they have to tell you, you know, if I would have just drawn one more land.
Oh, fuck those guys.
Drawn 10 lands. Or if I would have just, if I would have just, if I would have just. And I just you know what? I really don't have patience for that.
If oh, I man.
For the last 10 years, I wouldn't be fat compared to a hot chick. I wouldn't.
Or like the.
I wouldn't have turned out that I liked gay guys and I'd be unhappy. Like, shut the fuck up. Nobody gives a shit about your shouldas and wouldas. Okay, buddy?
Jay, or when they like not, they don't like peel the top. They peel like five cards. Oh, there it is. Like, okay.
Oh, man. I totally had five more turns to beat you.
Magic is like a big part of magic is variance, and you can control that, and no one can control that. So it's fine to like sometimes that tilts you or you get mad, and it's shitty. And I mean, everybody has a shitty variant time. But like, what the fuck am I supposed to say to you when you lose to me and then whine to me that you lost to me? Like, how insulting is that? Like, man, ugh, man, like, all I needed was that fucking burn spell. All I fucking needed was burn spell to kill you. I'm like, well, I'm playing blue and have Thrag Tusks as well. Like, maybe I would have, maybe you go to play the burn spell and I just Resto Angel my Thrag Tusk and gain 5 life and then you don't win, right? No, but I had, like, Skull Crack to, like, yeah, but, I had, like, a Boros Reckoner, so, like, even you attack me. Like your Thrag Tusk, I just like block it, kill it, and then like five you, right? I'm like, but I like, I don't know, Azorius Charm your guy. I'm like, no, but like, I'm like, no, okay, no, because I fucking killed you, all right? So, fuck your pop, because you're fucking dead, and dead men tell no tales. Shut up.
Oh, man. I kind of do that. I kind of do that sometimes, but it's only because I feel like the person expects me to, like, like after the match, they're like looking at you and they're like, yeah, sorry, dude. And then like, I feel like, yeah, I'm just like, yeah, it's cool. And they're like, yeah, man, that was rough beats. And I'm just like, I feel like explaining like, yeah, okay. Like this is what happened. Like, since you're so interested, like I didn't have blue mana and like, if I had blue mana, maybe it would have played out differently,
That's what I feel. The reason for that behavior that continues is I think it's because people have been that guy so much, other opponents now expect that they can't just say, like, good game and leave. And they can't just say, man, like, man, it sucked that you got stuck on two lands for 10 turns. That sucks. Good game. See you later. Bye. Because people just get so fucking whiny and shitty about it. And, like, mad. And I've done it before where I'm like, fuck, like, could plan to save my fucking life. Good game. And then back that after because, like, now I feel like that guy thinks that I'm, like, saying fuck you to his face. But I'm not saying fuck you, man. I'm saying fuck you, magic gods. Like, the people I'm talking to are the ones that it's like, I've never seen them win anything. And then they complain every time. And you know who those guys are? Those are the guys that are the best players in their very fucking terrible play groups. And you know what? The players that are terrible in their play groups aren't terrible because they're a piece of shit or they're idiots or whatever. It's probably that they're terrible because they're new or they don't have as much money to buy all the good cards or they're playing suboptimal decks or et cetera. They don't have as much experience. And this guy just absolutely dominates them. And then he goes to like anywhere where a real player who has even just the same amount of skill as him goes. And he just feels like he's so cheated that he didn't draw the perfect sequence of cards because that's literally never happened ever. I don't know why he feels this way. And these are the people that I hate. It's like, I played a tournament and it's 6 rounds and I have to hear 6 times about how you got fucked, how you got mana screwed, how you got mana flooded. Play your deck better, you piece of shit.
Yeah, I don't do that. I like, I'd rather just trade with the guy after, he's like, yeah, man, you got screwed on lands. I'm like, yeah, it's no big deal. Do you got trade stuff? I'm like, yeah, I did get screwed on land, but who gives a shit?
Max about Alex Hain, and I said, Alex says all the time that the object of the game to be really good, if you care about being good at Magic, the object is to play perfectly. And that's it. Whether you win or lose, whether they play perfectly or not, whether you're in the top 8 or the finals or the first match of Swiss or playing like casually with your dumb friends, the object, if you want to get better, is to play perfectly. And if your deck didn't perform properly, you can't control that. And maybe you should have mulliganed. Who knows? Maybe that two lander that you thought would get there if you cracked a third land, that's probably not a good decision to make. Maybe that seven lander where you thought, well, seven lands are out of my hand, I'll just draw gas, it's probably not a good decision. You know?
Yeah, it's all about risk evaluation. Like, I was just playing a cube match before we started, and it's funny because my buddy Jake, he brings over his cube. He's, like, into cube hardcore, right? But, like, for some reason, every time I play cube with him, I crush him. And it's not, I think he's a better Magic player than me, and it just tilts him because I crush him at his own cube every time. Same story was happening, right? I crushed him two games in a row. And so we're going on third game, and like I already had two wins, so I'm just like, yeah, whatever, I'll just keep this loose hand. So my deck is the greediest deck. It's a junk deck, splashing blue for Sphinx's Revelation and like freaking like double blue cards. Like so then I keep a hand that has no green. So I basically keep an Esper hand.
Okay.
I keep an Esper hand. I have a couple blue. I have a couple green cards. I have a Beast Within and like a Secure Tribalder, and then I have like enough land drops to hit five, right? And I have a Sphinx's Revelation. So I'm like, yeah, I could just keep this loose hand, you know, and then just try to get there, right? Because like when I hit five lands, then I can just Sphinx's for two, and hopefully after like five land drops and a Sphinx's Revelation for two. Hopefully I get there to the green, right? For what I'll need it for later, whatever. So when I look at the hand, it's greedy and it's like, yep, like so anyways, long story short, Jake crushes me. I never hit a green source. He mana leaks my Sphinx's Revelation. Okay, at five mana. So the way it plays out, he mana leaks me, I never get a green source, he crushes me. I could have been like, dude, didn't have the green source, you know, like just luck, you know. But like I had to evaluate the risk, right? Because like if I would have ripped the green source, then I would have looked like a genius. You know what I mean? I would have been like, "Oh man, got there with the green source." But
it just looked like he doesn't know. It would have just looked perfect. And that's the thing. Yeah. It's like if I just had this, you were dead. And like, well, what if I just had that? What if I just had this?
Exactly.
What if? Fuck! Shut up! Die!
What if he had the mana leak for my Sphinx's Revelation? Oh wait, that's what happened. What if I don't rip another green source? Yep, that's what happened too. So, like, yeah, you gotta take responsibilities for the hands that you keep. And if they're greedy and you don't get there, then don't bitch about it because you were greedy, you know?
It's not even the hands that you keep and things like that. You have to keep take responsibility for every decision you make, not just the ones that are obvious. Every single decision you make, you have to take responsibility for that. And if you want to get better, like instead of just expecting yourself to be better and like making people think that you're better and trying to like tell people that you're better, show them that you're better first of all, instead of telling me how good you are. Just show me how good you are, you fucking twat. And if you actually cared about getting better, you'd fucking be introspective and you would the first thing out of your mouth would be what did I do wrong and what could I do better next time, whether it was to you or to yourself or to the person you're playing. You wouldn't fucking come up to your group of bros and just bitch to them every single round of every tournament you've ever played in. Like, who the fuck are you? What tournaments are you going to that no one else is going to where you just like rip perfectly and win them all? It just seems like something's out of sync there, bro.
It's tough though when you're playing with your bros and then you go back. You know how you all like, so you're at a tournament, right? You go battle and then you all end up like coming back to the same place, mm-hmm. and then all of them are like, "How did you do?" And then you're like, "Yeah, I lost."
Yeah,
and then they're just looking at you like, "Well, what happened?" You know, and like I always feel like I have to explain it. I'm just like, "Yeah, I lost." If I could just be like, "Yeah, I lost, didn't get there," and they're just like, "Oh yeah, cool, bro."
Wrong with explaining it as like he played really well, I kept a greedy hand and I probably shouldn't have, and you know what, like he got there and I didn't. What's wrong with that explanation?
Nothing. There's nothing wrong with that
explanation. Like, yeah, that's a great,
I think,
explanation,
that's 100% optimal every time.
10 fucking lands in a row, that's what happened, man. And like, oh well, I'm sorry.
What if you really did just draw 10 lands in a row? Like,
you don't have to fucking yell it in my face about like every match you fucking just say like, yeah, like I kept a hand that had these cards in it, and then I drew 10 lands. So you don't win Magic when you draw 10 lands, right?
Yeah, but even that's a little bit passive aggressive by saying it that way.
Well, no, okay, so, like, I have, in some of my past accountings of matches, you know, I've very simply said, yeah, you know what, you got it, it's tough to win when you only draw four spells.
I think you accidentally trolled someone like that, like, they crushed me, and I was, like, picking my graveyard up, and I was like, what? I only had three spells this whole game? And, like, I'm, like, looking at my, like, before, like, while I'm picking up my cards, and then they're looking at me like, whatever, dude. I'm just like, no, really, like, I'm surprised. Like, I didn't realize, like, you know, that I only cast three spells. Like, that's just, like, it's surprising. Crazy, I only cast three spells. Yeah. Like, in the game, I'm thinking about, like, what I need to draw or, like, how I need to get there, what I'm trying to, like, you know. Just like when I'm dying to this guy in this cube match, like, I'm just hitting him with my creeping tar pits, you know. In my junk deck, by the way, like hitting them with my creeping tar pits, and like I'm just like thinking, man, what do I need to draw? But I didn't obviously draw what I need to draw because, you know, it was a forest that I needed, and I didn't get there. He played better, you know.
He played better, yeah. All skill game. All right,
yeah.
Well, are we ready to pack it in tonight, boys, or what?
Yeah.
Then I guess we will see you all next week. Don't forget to watch all of our shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess
Yeah.
Shout out to, you know what, just huge thanks to everybody that made the weekend a major success. Yeah. Yeah. Durf was a good roommate and a sweet car mate all the way through. It was good. Peter from Face to Face Games did a great job putting everything together, and he was just an amazing support all weekend, so that's great. Willie for driving us when we would have frozen our fucking sacks off otherwise. Awesome. But yeah, and just huge thanks to everybody.
Thanks,
so
big
amazing.
Thanks to Pro Tour winner Tom for coming on.
So are we going to do some shout outs, big thanks?
It was a pretty big weekend.
Oh, man.
Anti-big thanks.
Anti-big thanks to...
You just call it big fucks. Big fuck yous.
Oh, man.
Fuck you. I That's fucking
had it. Elvis Aaron Presley.
That's happened. I can't wait.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a good night. We'll talk to you later.